Good morning. It's been good to worship with you this morning. Welcome to White Plains Baptist Church. My name is Gary, and I joyfully serve as the senior pastor here. If this is your first time with us, or if you're new to us, I want to say a special welcome to you. Thank you for being our guest this morning. I've been praying for you and your family. I've been praying that God would be working in your life, and that whatever He is doing, that He would make Himself known to you. As our guest, I hope you find that our church is a warm and welcoming group of people. Thank you for being our guest this morning, and pardon our dust. We're just about finished with a remodel project. We're remodeling the upstairs of this room. Our kids' church area is just about finished. Our students, we were in there this morning for Sunday school, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what God does through our remodel project up here in this building. Kids, it's been good to see you here this morning. It's good to see you on Friday night. Many of y'all were here for our movie night. Wasn't that fun? The basketball court and the playground were full of your friends. We had a couple of big inflatables out on top of the hill. We watched a movie outside in the backyard. We ate cotton candy. We had popcorn. We got to stay up late past our bedtime. That sounds like fun. It was fun, and we'll do it again in a little bit. On June 23rd, we're going to have our next outdoor movie night, and that'll be Ferdinand. So if you have cousins or friends that want to come, let them know. Thank you guys for being here. I'll go ahead and dismiss y'all to the lobby to be taken over to Kids Church. Kids Church is for kids in kindergarten through sixth grade, and parents and grandparents, you could be able to pick them up after service is over just inside the back door of our chapel building. And this might be the last time we send them over there. In a couple weeks, we might be up here in our new room. That'll be fun. So as they're leaving, I do want to say thank you to so many of you guys who were here on Friday night to help us pull off that event. I saw many of y'all here engaged in conversations with our guests. I saw many of you towing other kids with you as you came. It was a really good event. Thank you so much for helping out. I heard lots of fun being had on the playground, and as I was leaving, or as it was ending Friday night, I was exhausted, I was tired, I had a kid come up to me, and he said, "When's the next one?" And that made my day. That made the whole event worth it. I was so excited that he asked me that question, and so I told him, June 23rd, on the 23rd, we'll do it again on the 21st of July. All of this is leading us up to our Vacation Bible School weekend in July, on July 22nd. The goal of this last movie night was just to see what would happen. I didn't really have too high of expectations. I was just sort of wanting to see what would happen, and God was good to us. We had just under 100 people here, I think, which was about what I was planning for, but I wasn't expecting that. With the holiday weekend, I was expecting about 60 or so, and so God really did bring more than I was expecting. We got to hand out invites to our Vacation Bible School and to other upcoming movie nights. Next month, we'll have someone welcome on a microphone in front before the movie begins and invite them to Vacation Bible School and all that. But it was really good to have so many new faces on our church campus on this weekend. And thank you again for the way you guys really helped make that a success. We're going to be in Psalm 27 this morning, and we're going to be beginning a new series called Summer in the Psalms. And Lord willing, we're going to return to the Psalms each summer over the next few years and to explore the different ways to seek out what the Psalms are teaching us. This summer, we're going to be attempting to get to know God in the Psalms. And next summer, we may look at the Psalms in a different way. We may look at how to worship God in the Psalms, or how to trust God, or find Jesus in the Psalms. There's many different things that the Psalms can teach us, and I'm looking forward to spending the summers over the next few years in the Psalms with you. Last week, I mentioned to you that the Psalms are somewhat unique. They're a different book of the Bible in that they're God's words to us, but they're back to Him. And when you read the Psalms, that's what you're reading. You're reading words of God. And most of the Bible is God to us, to humanity, and that's where it kind of ends. But the Psalms are different. And we can really get to know who God is because of this, because they are God's words to us back to Him. And I'm looking forward to spending these next 10 weeks with you, looking through the Psalms and getting to know God in the Psalms with you. So let's look at Psalm 27. We'll read the whole thing of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. For he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Let's pray in response to this psalm. God, thank you for your word to us this morning, and may it be sweet as it goes back to you. Thank you for this psalm and what it teaches us. Lord, I pray that as we look into this psalm a little bit deeper, Lord, you would reveal to us a little bit about who you are and what you want us to know about you. Thank you again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just as there are different genres of books of the Bible, there are different genres of poems in the Psalms. And as you learn or want to learn how to read the Bible, I would recommend a book to you from Gordon Fee. The book is called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. And I want to give you some insights he has on the Psalms. And there's seven different genres of poetry in the Psalms that he outlines, and they are this: laments, thanksgiving, praise, salvation history, celebration, wisdom, and God's faithfulness. So just like we read history different than we read poetry, and we read letters in the New Testament different than we read the prophecy books of the Old Testament, we want to read the Psalms according to their genre. And you'd read a lament psalm different than you'd read a thanksgiving psalm. And Fee continues in his book on some of the benefits we get when we read the Psalms. And he says that the Psalms lead us to worship. The Psalms also show us how to relate to God. And I find this to be very important as we understand that these are God's words to us back to him. And in that, we can understand how we relate to God much better as we read the Psalms. And then lastly, he says the Psalms show us why it matters for us to remember what God has done for us. Those are all some of the benefits that we get when we read the Psalms. So let's look at Psalm 27 a little bit more. This is the Psalm of David. He wrote a lot, but he didn't write all of them. There are several different authors of the Psalms, and so even when we read the Psalms, we want to understand different people sometimes. David, and the genre of this of Psalm 27 is lament. This is a lament psalm, and some of the themes you might have picked up as we read through Psalm 27 are assurance, courage, patience, salvation, prayer, and worship. Now, if you didn't get a bulletin this morning, I would encourage you to grab one on your way out, because Heather put a handout in there, and it's going to be something that you're really going to want to see to understand what I'm about to share with you. But if you take the full sheet that's in your bulletin of Psalm 27, out of your bulletin. Even if you have your own Bible, look at this sheet in your bulletin. It's the whole of Psalm 27. It's in a weird shape, but it's going to be helpful to see this a little bit. This is the entire psalm laid out for you, and it's laid out in something that's called a chiasm. Now, I don't read a lot of poetry for fun, and so I don't know stuff like this. I have to learn it. And maybe you love reading poetry and you know this kind of stuff, but for me, I had to discover that. And so this is a chiasm, and I'll explain a little bit more about what that is, but this psalm was written thousands of years ago. It was written in Hebrew, and we're reading it today in English. And the Psalms are amazing in that the story or the message of the Psalms stays with us, even though it's a different language, even though it's thousands of years ago. Language changes quickly. And even though language changes quickly, the message that God has for you and for me in this Psalm and the Psalms hasn't changed. This chiasm, this chiastic structure of the way that the Psalm 27 is laid out is amazing once you discover what it is. So what is a chiasm? According to my glossary of theology, it says it's a literary structure where parallel elements correspond in an inverted order. So if you look at this sheet, you sort of see that. I've labeled it with letters and I've given them titles. Even if you can't read the words of the Psalm very well, you can see what I'm talking about if you look at this sheet. So you've got A, the first stanza is A, the second stanza is B, you know, C, and goes down to F. F is the hinge point of the psalm, and then it starts going backwards. So it goes from F to E to D to C, and the A's correspond with each other. The B's correspond with each other. The C's correspond. And so if you look at that, so let's just look at A. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's the first stanza. And if I was going to give this stanza a title, it's Yahweh or God is my strength. And because it's written in this chiastic structure, the last stanza, verses 13 and 14, correspond with this. So look at verses 13 and 14. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Do you see how those two relate with each other? So if I was going to give that one a title, it's Be Strong. And so we go from believing God is my strength to the action of being strong. And that believing to being is going to be an important concept later on in this passage. So remember that. But the Lord is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And so those are just the A's. The B's do the same thing. The C's, the D's, the E's all correspond with each other. That's a chiasm. That's the chiastic structure that we have here in Psalm 27. And if you just read it, you don't see it. And that's why I wanted you to see this sheet, because I indented it for you so you could see it, how it corresponds with each other. We miss something if we don't see what's happening, I think. It's really important as we study God's Word to know how it's written as much as what is written in it. Now, the Psalms are poetry. Maybe it's some of the most advanced poetry ever written because of the beauty of what it says and how it says it. Psalm 27 is this chiastic structure. Many of the 150 psalms are written in a chiasm. In fact, some of the way the psalms are laid out by chapters is chiastic. And so if you were to take a zoom out and look at chapter 1 through chapter 14, those first 14 chapters of psalms, you would see a chiastic structure. And so it's important sometimes to drill into what does this word mean as you're reading and studying the Bible. Then sometimes it's good to zoom out and see how it is written and what is it saying in the way that it is written as well. So the Psalms are very beautiful. It's really an amazing thing. And maybe it's because I don't read poetry. Maybe all poetry is this good. I don't think so. But if you aren't a reader of poetry, the Psalms can be difficult if you don't know what to be looking for. The other thing I want to show you here on this, in the way the Psalms are written, if you've got a pen, if you take your sheet, or you can do this in your Bible, it's fine with me, underline the first sentence of Psalm 27, verse 1. Underline this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Underline that. And then circle, "Whom shall I fear?" Then underline, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life." And then circle, "Whom shall I be afraid?" And a lot of the Psalms have parallelism in it. And what we have in parallelism is this, according to, again, to my glossary of theology, it's a feature of biblical poetry where the successive lines repeat, reinforce, and expand on the previous line. And so if you're looking back at those verses, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is a stronghold of my life." Do you see how that repeats and reinforces? The second reinforces the first. The same way with what we circled. "Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid?" You might figure that out after you read it, because there's a rhythm to it. But if you're looking for it, and if you're marking it, you can really study God's Word very well, and your understanding of the Psalms will grow very quick as you do that. And so this morning, we've spent some time looking at the mechanics of Psalm 27. We've grown an understanding of how it was written. But the question that we want to answer this morning is, how do we get to know God better in the Psalms? Not how He wrote the Psalms, but how do we get to know God in the Psalms? So let's look back at verses 1 through 3 and see what it says instead of how it says it. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident." You probably picked up some of the parallelism there, didn't you, as you heard it and read it again. As we look at what's said here in verses 1 through 3, what do you think we learn about God here? There's a statement and a question, then to repeat and emphasize, there's another statement and another question. Then David goes to give a scenario of his life. And this is where the lament starts to kick in. It's personal. The Psalm David's right, he's struggling through something. He's considering his past. He's considering the situation he's in. This is his real life. The Psalms are full of emotion. And now David, who wrote this, is inspired by God, and he's writing this psalm, this poem, back to God. And that's what we have in the Psalms. They're God's words to us, back to Him. And after this real-life scenario, David makes this statement, "My heart shall not fear, and I will be confident." This points back to verse 1, that the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is a stronghold of my life. And now you could probably put a few different things in that blank there for verses 1 through 3, but I want you to see that God saves. God saves. God is your Savior. If He is our Lord and our salvation, we have nothing to fear. If the Lord is your stronghold, you have no one to be afraid of. Paul picks this up in Romans. In Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, Paul writes this: "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Paul continues, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor heights nor depth, nor anything else in all the creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is your Savior. God saves you. This leads us to the next point in this passage of Psalm 27, verses 4 through 6. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter, and in the day of trouble he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices of shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. What do you think might go into this blank? What do we learn about God here? What are some key words we picked up as we read through this passage? It's really a good idea to look at the verbs in this passage. The verbs asked, seek, dwell, gaze, inquire, hide, conceal, lift, be lifted, offer, sing, and make melody. Remember, these are God's words to us, back to him. In the last passage, we saw that God saves. What good is it to be saved if he doesn't keep us saved? And that's what we see here. We see that God protects. God protects. God protects you. Do you see that? God saves us, and he keeps us safe. He protects us. Again, in Romans 8, 37 through 39, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What can separate us from God's saving? Nothing. God saves you. God protects you. In the beauty and skill of David's writing here in the psalm, we're seeing that God is at work in our lives. He saves us. He protects us. He protects us. That is, he rescues you and he keeps you safe. God is powerful. He is a powerful God. And when you feel weak, you can turn to him. You can turn to the psalms, to the laments especially. You can learn from him as you feel weak. Turn to this psalm. Get a sense of God's power over you, over your life, and over whatever situation you may find yourself in. God is powerfully at work in your life, saving you and keeping you safe. But wait, there's more. Let's look at verses 7 through 12. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. Because of my enemies, give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. So what should go in this blank? What do you think? The emotions of this psalm are growing. You sense there's trouble. You sense the need to to lament and to be concerned about what is going on in David's life. David is crying out. He quotes a psalm that he wrote earlier. He's quoting Psalm 24 a bit in this phrase that you have said, seek my face. This idea is also quoted in Psalm 105. Now, we don't know who wrote that one, but David's family has forsaken him, apparently. He is approaching God, but as David approaches God, he's a little fearful that his sin will cause God to turn away from David. Have you ever felt that way? That your sin keeps you from approaching God? David feels that way, and it's what we have here. But we end up with David being confident because we learn about God. David asks God to teach him and lead him because life for David is hard. It is very hard. And this is true for you. God wants you to come to him, especially as life gets hard. God is not saving you and keeping you safe from a distance. God is not doing his saving and protecting of you without care for you. We see here in this passage that God listens. God listens to you. God is active in your life, whether you realize it or not. God is active. He is watching over you closely. He is near you. When you trust God for your salvation, you can trust God to keep you saved and keep you safe. God will not forsake you. He never will. He listens to you, especially as life gets hard. He loves you. He will teach you his ways. He does this primarily through his word, the Bible, to you. God listens and loves you. All of this brings us to the final two verses of Psalm 27. In verses 13 and 14, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Now there's a couple of blanks to fill in here because you can handle two blanks now. We've done one blank for each one. Here's two. What do you think should go here? We see David express faith here in Psalm 27. He says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord. Other statements are, wait for the Lord. He says that twice. And he also says, be strong and take courage. Do you see his faith being expressed here in these last two verses? Faith leads to action. We go from believing to being. We see that here in Psalm 27. I believe I shall look to be strong. We go from believing to being. So in your notes, because of all this, I will trust God with my life. Because of all of this, of all of what we learned in Psalm 27 about God, because of all of that, I will trust God with my life. And this is where we'll end this morning. Going from believing to being. And if you are not believing, you can't go to being. Start with believing that God will save you, that God will protect you, that God listens to you. Then, because of all that, you can trust God with your life. Trust God to save you and to keep you saved. He is faithful. Trust God with your life. And I'll invite the worship team to come back up. And as they come, begin with belief. Trust God with your life. As life gets harder, trust more. Trust God. Increase that trust. Then go from belief to being. Take action on your faith. Your first action from faith should be baptism. Then continue to grow that faith with Bible study, studying the word that God has written to you, and then search for ways to do the word. Because God saves, protects, listens to you, you can trust him with your life. Would you stand with me as we pray? God, we thank you for your words to us this morning. Thank you for this beautiful psalm in Psalm 27. Lord, thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our protector. Thank you for listening to us. Because of all that, Lord, we trust you with our life. And as life gets harder, we trust you more. Strengthen our faith. Strengthen our trust in you. You are good. Thank you for your word to us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.